The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Reverend Terry Tim is with us. Reverend Tim is a regular guest on our show, a monthly guest. He joins us from Christ Community Church of the South Hills. Terry, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Real good. Terry, we miss seeing your bright and shining face. One of these days we'll meet again.
Oh, well, my face is really shining in this heat, so I'm melting away.
Mm-hmm. All right, Terry, so let's talk about citizenship. We know from reading our Bibles that our citizenship is in heaven. Right. Boy, if you look at a lot of the people who are posting on my Facebook feed, they certainly recognize that their citizenship is in the United States, too, which is valid. So how do we are those competing kingdoms?
Quick answer. Yes, they really are. I don't know about you, but like this was the hardest 4th of July weekend that I've ever had the experience in my life.
Amen. Like, yes. Yeah.
There were so many conflicting emotions like swirling around inside of me, and I'm still processing like what in the world is really going on, you know, my own life, my own faith, and my own commitment to follow Christ faithfully and to be a good citizen of our country. I love being a citizen of the United States of America. You know, one of my most prized possessions, this is going to sound strange, is my U.S. passport. Like, I love my passport. I mean, for one, it just reminds me of the opportunities that I've had to travel. And I love, you know, I love traveling to other countries and getting the stamps in there. But, you know, there's something about returning home and, you know, coming through New York or Detroit or Atlanta and, you know, seeing that sign, welcome to the United States of America. That brings me deep, deep joy because there's no other place that I would prefer to live. And yet, oh my gosh, good God, there's a lot of conflict in me. And, you know, I've been listening to a song by an artist called by the name of John Guerrera. And it's called Citizen. And there's this verse in the song that says this: I have a heart full of questions, quieting all my suggestions. What is the meaning of Christian in this American life? And that's what I'm pondering right now. There you go.
Yeah.
First
off, thanks for sending that song to John and I. It's a really thought-provoking piece.
It's beautiful.
It really is. It's beautiful and it's terrible. And it's the way life is right now is just someone trying to ask an honest question of a real God. And I guess that's the question that I'm trying to get at, Terry, is we're not going to improve our perspective on the nation and we're not going to improve the nation itself if we're not willing to ask really hard questions, questions that are awkward, questions that we absolutely do not know the answer to. I think Christians are good at asking questions we already know the answer to because it makes us seem like we're, you know, really knowledgeable or well-rounded or insightful, but really asking a question we don't know the answer to and then being willing to sort through all the mess that happens when you start talking.
Yeah. You know, I came across a quote a number of years ago from William Sloan Coffin, who for years was the senior pastor at Riverside Church in New York City. And he talked about there are two kinds of citizens. And he said, some citizens are loveless critics and some are uncritical lovers. Neither one of those is the posture of the follower of Jesus. So think about those two categories. There are some people that are loveless critics. I mean, they they just look for every opportunity to tear down something that's happening in our country, a policy, a leader. They're just ruthless. You know, there's no love for America. I just critic, critic, critic. And then there are other folks who it's just, you know, they wrap themselves in a flag and there's no critical thoughtfulness about, like, are there things that are happening in our country that are not consistent with where our, ultimately our citizenship is in heaven? And I have to admit, like, you know, I could ping back and forth between those two things. And the question is, like, again, as a person whose citizenship is in heaven, what does it mean for me to live faithfully as a citizen of the United States of America? Mm-hmm. So let me, maybe, can I just give you four things?
Yeah.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, open this up.
So here's the first one. Be grateful. Like, no matter what else is happening, no matter what is happening, like the Apostle Paul says, gratefulness and thanksgiving is like the wellspring of a thriving, flourishing life. And so one of the things I'm trying to do in this season is just every day, like, count my blessings of what it means to live in this country. In spite of its hardship, in spite of its pain, like, thank you, Jesus, that you planted me here. You didn't set me in 14th century Nepal. Like, I'm really grateful to live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the year 2020. Another thing is to be prayerful. You know, the scriptures make it very clear that we are to be people who pray. Pray for those who are in authority. Whether we agree with them or not, the scriptures are clear. Be prayerful. And I have found, like, that's something that I'm not faithful enough in. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not pray as diligently as I should for leaders at every level. And, you know, I think about, you know, those who have governing responsibilities right now, whether it's a local commissioner or the president of the United States or anybody in between, like, that's a heavy lift. That is a heavy burden in our country. And they, all of those men and women, they need our prayers. Desperately. So I would just, like, really encourage all of our, you know, anybody who's listening to this conversation, we need to all step up our prayer game. It's really, really important.
That's good. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Tara, be grateful, be prayerful. What's number three?
So number three, and this is the hard one, this is really hard, you know, be submitted. The Apostle Paul says we are to submit to our governing authorities. Like, whether, again, we agree or not with policies, you know, I've talked about this, you guys are talking about it, and it's kind of a joke, like the whole thing with masks, right? Like, do you wear a mask or not? Like, you know, we've been displaced right now. Our church, we're not able to gather yet. And we're hopefully, maybe in August, we're going to move in back into an indoor gathering. Who knows? But one of the things the school district has said to us, when we come back, masks are required. That's the local government has made that decision. So whether you like that policy or not, if you're going to worship in this space with us, a mask is required. That's a simple little thing, but it's part of this path that God calls us to submit to government authorities. Now, the last thing I would say is, you know, we're to be grateful, be prayerful, be submitted. We're also to be critical. Like, and when I say that, be critical, I mean, like, there are going to be times when we need to prophetically dissent. When the government asks us to do something that is not consistent with the clear word and instruction of God, there are times that we just have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. The word of the Lord, the rule of the Lord demands that I not only call this out prophetically and say no more, I won't submit. And that's the fine line. Like Kathy, you're a worship leader. I think you probably saw, like, in California, I think the governor has currently in California says churches cannot sing.
Yes.
Like, I love to sing. Singing is such an important part of worship. Mm-hmm. Now, right now I would say submit to that. But if the governor of California is saying that 2 years from now, like, right, that's probably a time for prophetic dissent. Like, we're going to sing. And so parsing that out prayerfully is, like, when is it time to stand up and say enough is enough? We're not going to do it. That's also that's what it means to be a good citizen, particularly when our citizenship is rooted in heaven.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem, Terry, is, and as you go through these four things, I certainly appreciated it, but I believe that most of us, even as we are believers in Jesus Christ, we tend to pay much more attention to a secular world perspective than we do to our citizenship in heaven.
I think it's one of the biggest challenges facing the church right now. It is, pastorally, I would say it is a crisis of discipleship. Our minds, our attitudes, our worldviews are shaped more by the culture around us than the teachings of Jesus. I mean, we live at a time of tribes, right? Everybody has a tribe, you know, and, you know, if you take tribalism, you know, into the political space, you know, it becomes identity politics. And the Christian faith says clearly our primary allegiance has to be to Christ and not to a political tribe or a political party. Like, that is so clear, but you know, all of us, we can get caught up in, you know, what the world, what the culture, where the power is. That can become very, very enticing and compelling, and it really is a crisis of discipleship. Who are we going to follow? So, you know, if I wanted to be super provocative, I would say, you know, my fifth suggestion would be, don't be patriotic. I know that probably isn't going to fly, but you can edit that out of this conversation. But the word patriot has its roots in the word patris, father, right? Yes. We talk about a patriot being somebody who's committed to the fatherland. But ultimately, like, our fatherland is in the fatherhood of God.
Yes.
Like, we are his beloved children, and that has to be the primary source of our identity. It's not as citizens of any nation, as beautiful as that might be. Ultimately, our allegiance is to the fatherhood of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that has to take priority over anything and everything else. So, you know, what does it mean to be a good citizen? We need to get patriotism right and root it in the fatherhood of God and the graciousness that God gives us to in Christ, that we are called his sons and daughters.
I remember that. Terry Tim is with us. Terry's the pastor of Christ Community Church at the South Hills. Terry, like everybody, you know, I've got my favorite T-shirts. And I went into my drawer the other day, and I pulled out a T-shirt that was given to me when I went to the Jubilee, the CCO Jubilee. I bet it's been 6 or 7 years, but I love this T-shirt. It's a green T-shirt, and on the front of it, it says, "Everything Matters." And I put that T-shirt on, and then I thought, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't wear this. Maybe this is going to send a weird message when I go out in public. And I thought differently about it. But, you know, it is true that the imperative that in God's creation, everything does matter. But now today, you know, there's a conversation about Black Lives Matter, everybody's lives matter, white lives matter. It's become very contentious.
You know, I really pray for you guys, because, I mean, you're in this business of, you know, communicating. Words are so important right now, and everybody is microanalyzing every word that's spoken or written, right?
Yeah.
And words do matter, and everything does matter. And there are particular seasons in our lives individually, and I would say in our lives corporately, when we have to pay particular attention to certain things. It doesn't mean we ignore everything else, but, you know, the scriptures talk about, you know, different kinds of times, and one of the times that the scriptures talk about is a kairos, an opportune time. And I do think, like, right now, the church, we have to pay attention. What is God saying to us? What is God inviting us into? What is God commanding us to pay attention to? It's not discounting that other things don't matter, but right now I gotta be like, this is a time when the American church, and particularly the American white church, we need to pay attention to the whole issue of race. It's like it is the opportune moment for us. And it's an opportunity. I think that change can come if we seize this moment. It's an invitation. God's not going to force it down our throat, but it's an invitation. He's saying, come on, my people, like, lead the way. Don't let the world lead the charge here. You're to be the reconcilers. You're to be the voice of hope. You're to be the light. So are we going to step into that space? I sure hope we are.
I sure hope we are, too. That's the Reverend Me Terry too. Tim, Christ Community Church of the South Hills. Terry, we love you. We're up against a break. We've got to go. Talk soon.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.